Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It is out of hand in the center field, and this game is over. Got him. And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Marty, we're the first non-player on the podcast. Welcome, after me being on your show a couple hundred times.
Yeah, we loved it. I mean, you were Rookie of the Year. There was no question you easily outdistanced anyone who was near you. And then you've had a great sophomore, junior, senior year. You're in graduate school, a media star, and you and I love talking ball, so I'm happy to be here.
I had no competition, but we'll go off of me and move on to onto baseball. I want to ask you first, the first thing, we're kind of going to wrap up the spring here and do that. The first thing for you being down there for 6 weeks, you lived there, I was there for 6 weeks. What stood out that maybe you didn't anticipate?
Well, I think it was the general health of the club, of people coming back. We didn't know what Pagan would be like coming back health-wise. Would the back be a problem? Would the knee be a problem? Would his attitude be a problem? None of the above. Everything was good. Denard Span coming in. The Giants had never seen him swing a bat or throw a ball. He basically jumped over a hurdle, and they gave him $30 million. So to see him and to see him play and realize that he is an impact kind of player at the top of the order, that was a surprise for me too. Seeing Samardzija and Cueto come in, and no Affeldt, seeing Josh Osich take that role. But it was, I think, the health of the team in general. Joe Panik, I remember standing out in spring training the first time he dove for a ball up the middle. And I remember you and I looked at each other and said, he's back.
Yeah.
And that was the key for us. So I think the one thing I took from spring training, honestly, and I think Bruce Bochy says it, and I think most people are optimistic about it, it's the health of the club. The only one who's got a question mark really is Matt Cain, and he had a question mark anyway. So he's going to have to produce. He appears to be healthy. Whether he starts that fifth game, I'm not sure yet. But that's the only thing that I think was kind of weird in spring training.
I'll touch off two things you said. One, Angel Pagan, I think attitude-wise, it seemed like he bought in from day one and bought into left field. We saw him do a lot of work out there. I think he should be pretty good out there, given that he is a center fielder. Had a rough year in center last year. But the other thing, you mentioned Joe Panik. And Joe, I think from the start of spring, had a big smile on his face. And that was a good sign to us. And it was, we talk about body language a lot. And you could tell last year that something wasn't right with him, even when he came back. But we saw Joe from the very beginning, I thought, look good and had a great spring. So he should be ready to bounce back. We'll move on to what concerns you after, and you touched on it a little bit, but what concerns you after watching these guys?
Well, I think just the health of Denard Span, whether he, you know, let's face it, you know, he hasn't played a full season since 2014. His arm's a little sore. If you watch him in the outfield, the relay guys go pretty far out there to get a ball. So in this ballpark, a little bit of concern of his defense. The fifth starter is a little concern to me. And then it's just another year of Casilla and Romo and Lopez and Contos, and whether their people behind them are ready to step up. Because I think this is a long year. It's a long season, as we like to say. And this bullpen, when we come into August, may look a little bit different. So I think that concerned me a little bit. The other thing was Pagan and where he would hit in the lineup. Would he be okay hitting down in the lineup? And what we saw in spring training, well, a couple of things. One, Bruce Bochy's going to hit the pitcher eighth and have Pagan hit ninth from time to time. And Pagan likes that because he's back sort of in the leadoff spot. But the other thing is he may hit him in the top of the order. Maybe Span won't play every day. And he's not going to put him in center field, but he'll put him at the top of the order. So that was something that, that I saw as well. But I think the biggest thing for me is the health of the pitching staff. With Peavy being healthy, we're just assuming he's going to be healthy, and of course Matt Cain as well.
I'm going to touch off something you said again. I think the health, they're healthy right now, and they got through the spring. I am reminded over and over again that they had the lineup out there three times the entire month of March, and they're out there right now. We're taping this during the Bay Bridge series, so I think it does seem like they're walking a little bit of a tightrope, and there's more depth than they've had in the past. Yeah. You know, Mack Williamson, Jarrett Parker, these guys we saw, Gorkys Hernandez, I thought did some good things during the spring and maybe could be a guy who helps. But it seems like they're walking a tightrope a little bit with a bunch of guys who missed time during the spring. It was Bruce Bochy joked about it. It was, you know, camp slow play. We're going to take it easy on everybody. And I think we'll see how that plays out once the season actually starts. How long this lineup, you know, the lineup, the problem last year was the lineup was never together. I think their main lineup was out there four or five times. So we'll see. They'll be ready on opening day, but I'm curious to see how long that group lasts.
Yeah, especially the outfield. You want to see the left field, the center field, and right field out there. Everyone missed some time in spring training. A lot of times they play the veterans early. They let them go at their own pace, so we'll see what happens there. Pitching-wise, I just don't worry about Bumgarner. He had the little neuroma in his foot and the muscle pull. I don't worry about Samardzija. He's been a horse out there. He takes the ball all the time. And Cueto is interesting, because he was in the World Series. He pitched 240-plus innings, so they let him go at his own pace. But what he's showing, and something you pointed out, which is very true, he's a very effective National League pitcher. And he doesn't walk people. And if you keep the ball on the ground, which he tends to do in this ballpark with this infield, he'll be pretty good. So there was so many things going on with the pace of spring training that I'm glad it's over. And let's start the season. Let's see what they have. And if they have to go to some of the depth in the minor leagues, let those minor league guys play for a little while. Hopefully they don't need them until June. And then we'll see where they go.
The walks thing is good. They did not walk a whole lot of guys this spring. So that was good to see. You know, one thing we have the advantage of is being down there and seeing prospects. So I want to give out awards here. And playing off of what you do, let's give out a he can hit award. Somebody we saw come into camp. There's an easy choice. Yeah. I think Christian Arroyo is the easy choice. But who else? Because Christian would be the runaway winner. He was like 10 for 18, hit a couple homers. His approach at the plate is far beyond what a 20-year-old's approach at the plate should be. So he would be the easy winner. Who else to you? One of the guys we saw for the first time, somebody maybe who's going to be at A-ball, at Double-A, who would you give kind of a he can hit award?
Well, I thought it was Ryder Jones.
That was my choice.
Yeah, well, Ryder Jones, really, he's a big kid for a third baseman. And what impressed me in the inner squad game is how he could run. He's a good runner. And he's got good power. We saw that. I like Ryder Jones. I like what I saw about him. That was one absolutely for sure. Aramis Garcia was another one. Aramis Garcia was another one as a catcher who they like a lot. Matt Wynn, I thought, had great at-bats during spring. And then you have to look at Mack Williamson. In the beginning of spring, there was nobody hotter than him. So I'd say he's on the radar, obviously. But Ryder Jones and Garcia and Matt Wynn were a few that jumped out to me.
I was going to choose Ryder, too. I think he was different than I thought. He's bigger than I thought he would be. He's a better athlete than I thought he would be. Again, a young guy. He was in that same class. He's roommates with Christian Arroyo. Yeah. They should be roommates in Double-A. And I think Ryder went 6 for 13 in big league games. So pretty impressive run there. We'll move on to the pitching staff. Who's your he can pitch guy? There are some guys we talked about on the radio early in camp who didn't have great springs, but who is the guy who stood out to you?
Well, he didn't have a great spring, but from day one, I love watching this guy pitch, and it's Tyler Beede.
He stole my other choice. I guess it's obvious, yeah.
Well, he looks like he's got a follow through. The ball jumps out of his hand. He's got a great attitude. It wasn't great in the spring games. Was not terrific, but you could see the arm is there. And he's a great baseball fan. He grew up in Massachusetts. He loves baseball. His father loves baseball. And I think there's some good things coming with him. The other one was Chris Stratton, who sort of came out of nowhere and just all of a sudden had 8 shutout innings and maybe has put himself back on the radar, because he was sort of down the list. Nobody was thinking about him. So disappointing. I thought Clayton Blackburn was somewhat disappointing, I must tell you. I love him and the great kid. The story last year is one of those great human interest stories. But the stuff wasn't there for me. Now, in Arizona, and everyone who's listening to this has to understand that if you're a finesse pitcher in Arizona, it doesn't work. He is a finesse pitcher, a pitch-to-contact kind of guy. Ty Block, sort of a similar thing. So I wasn't thrilled with them. But of that whole crowd, I like Beedy, and then I'll let you pick a couple of the relievers.
The thing I'll say about Clayton, he did walk a lot of guys. I think now the finesse thing, he's a guy who sets you up, works you over two or three at-bats. That's what he does. He's not going to throw 94 or 95. So I think it's hard to judge Clayton. And he didn't have a great spring. It was a rough time for him. That the one start they gave him, I think, against the Dodgers, didn't make it out of the first inning because the pitch count got too high. But I thought physically he looked better, looked more mature. Again, we'll see what happens when the season starts with him, because people have to realize the one thing, aside from the weather and everything else you deal with down there, that the air and that your breaking ball not breaking, a lot of these kids are trying to make teams, which when we talk about hitters, I think that's why Arroyo's approach stood out, because he's patient. Yeah. But a lot of these guys are going up there and swinging at the first pitch. So if you're trying to set somebody up, it doesn't work. So for Clayton, that didn't work as well. The guy I'm going to point to, Tyler Beedy, I agree, looked better physically. He had put on weight, I think about 30 pounds, a lot of it in his legs, which will help him. He was impressive, especially early in camp, kind of before the game started, and the workouts looked good. The guy late, Jake Dunning, came up. We saw him every other day. Jake is here right now. He's going to Sacramento, and they have him back here again. Yeah. I imagine we'll see him, a couple more times before the season starts. He's not on the 40-man roster, which made it impossible for him to make the team or even really compete with some of the guys, and they have guys who are out of options. So that was the situation. But Jake came up. He tore his groin twice last year in about a month. And I talked to him the other day, and he said it's a mental thing. You have to know you can push off again and not tear your groin again, which sounds terrible to do that even once, and he did it twice. So he went to Venezuela, got the confidence back, comes in, didn't give up a run in four or five appearances, but more than that was throwing 95 and looked confident, throwing a good breaking ball. I think the staff kept bringing him back to see him over and over again, and he kept succeeding. So I think Jake Dunning, who pitched a lot for the Giants in 2013, firmly back on the radar, and a guy that you mentioned the bullpen being different later this year, and we know there's always injuries there, there's always things that happen. A guy who's put himself back in the mix with, the Derek Laws, the Stephen Okurts, the guys who we expected to be in the mix, Mike Broadway, guys like that. Dunning is now in that mix.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll tell you another guy who really jumped out at everyone, or two of them. One is Ian Gardick, who ended up with Tommy John surgery. But the other one is Sam Coonrod.
Yes.
My goodness.
Yes.
Come on. My goodness, as I like to say. Boy, this guy just brings it. And he'll be probably in San Jose this year, I would imagine. But this is a guy who can move quickly through the system. He was something else down there. I like what I saw with him. And then Ray Black, they're still going slowly with him. Not wanting to use him back-to-back days. He's not going to close at Sacramento, which I thought he would. Derek Law is going to close there.
I think Ray's going to be in Richmond.
He's going to be in Richmond. Yeah, that's correct. So he'll be in Richmond. Yeah. And then there's Jake Smith. I thought the right-handed relief stuff was pretty interesting. I thought there was a section of that clubhouse that you could take about six of them, including Corey Guerin, and put them on the Angels. That would be the whole bullpen.
They all throw about 98 to 100.
It was really pretty good. And Crick, put Crick in there too. Crick was not awful either. He sort of, got his stock up a little bit.
It was a step. It's the best group of relief arms. This is my fifth year. Best group easily. Chase Johnson, another guy who was there, throws hard. So on and on down the line. Ian Gardick, you mentioned that. He was really impressive. I had a scout after he pitched against the Reds early on, his first appearance, and a scout told me, that looks like an eighth-inning big league guy.
Yeah.
And then Ian, of course, elbow blew out having Tommy John, so he'll miss a year. But we hit on the hitting. We hit on the pitching. Was there a guy defensively who stood out to you?
Well, I thought Gorky's Hernandez really – now, I don't know how he did sort of at the end of camp, maybe, because the other guys started playing more. He didn't get as much playing time. But there was a period of time of about 2 weeks early on where he ran everything down, and he could play center field. And I'll tell you something, he can throw. Every game, I said, just watch this guy. He's going to uncork a throw just about every game. Had a great Venezuelan Winter League. He's been in the big leagues before with the Marlins and the Pirates. And I think he is the insurance policy. If anything goes down where they need a defensive outfielder, and if they need it for center field or something like that, and that this is a problem with them. When Gary Brown didn't make it, they didn't have a defensive replacement. Blanco was there for got a lot of at-bats. But they needed a defensive guy in center. This is the guy, I think.
That's a good choice. I think this has been a lot of positive stuff. I mean, one negative that really stood out to me, and you mentioned Gorky's. These guys, outfield arm-wise, are not going to be in very good shape. We saw a lot of teams, even in spring training, running on the Giants outfielders. And there's some guys, Mac Williamson, we know what he can do. He's not going to be on this team, but he's different. Gorky's maybe a little bit different. But for the most part, I think we saw, especially with Pagan, with the adjustment to left, and with Denard Span, he had some injuries and had some injuries to his arm. We saw this spring guys just running at will on those guys. So that'll be something, I think, early in the season to watch how much big league teams are doing that. When we see them.
Yeah, I want to say that's a good point. Span especially, because his shoulder's a little bit sore. And watch the relay. Watch Crawford and Duffy. They go out to the middle of center field to get the relay.
Yeah.
Now, what he does, though, he gets to the ball and gets rid of the ball very quickly. And that sort of makes up for the fact that he doesn't throw it as hard or as far. Pagan showed me something. Now, the arm is not great. It was never great wherever he played. But what he showed me was he gets to the ball down the left field line very quickly. And I remember Barry Bonds, Ricky Henderson, you know, people who played left field are very good at it. I like the way he gets the ball down the left field line. He's going to cut off doubles and turn them into singles. And I think that was the most positive thing I saw about Pagan. But you're absolutely right. First to third, second to home, second to third, there's going to be a lot of running on this team.
Yeah, he did do a good job in left field for the most part. I think just something for fans who are listening as the season gets going, maybe haven't seen him during the spring. Something to watch, like you said, how far out Crawford is, how far out Joe Panik is, and all that. It did seem maybe down the line is an issue for the Giants, but we'll see. The last thing I'm going to hit you with baseball-wise here, I thought the best thing that happened to the Giants this spring was what happened over at Camelback Ranch and the fact that the Dodgers couldn't go 2 days without having somebody get hurt. And that's a little gruesome, I guess, but I thought all along it'd be a three-team race. I know the Diamondbacks made a splash, the Giants made a splash. People were sleeping on the Dodgers a little bit, I thought. In the offseason, they did win the division 3 years in a row. They've won it pretty handily. So that was, to me, a team that people were not paying attention to. And I thought Giants fans that I talked to weren't paying attention to. And they were just saying it's an even year and all that. The Diamondbacks had a big offseason. So the Dodgers coming into spring, I thought, were scarier than people thought. Leaving spring, everybody's hurt almost. So what is your impression of the division, given what happened with them, and given what we saw from Arizona, who was the best team down there, maybe because they sleep in their own beds, but they were the best team in the Cactus League.
Yeah, early on, it was clear that Arizona had played with like a hungry attitude. Brandon Drury is a name, Socrates Brito. Then, of course, they've got the three pitchers in De La Rosa and Robbie Ray. They've got a ton of bullpen guys. Some are hurt. Cole Menter may be hurt now. I love Arizona. They score runs, and they play good defense. And they also got Gene Segura, who had a tremendous spring down there. He hit about 580.
Yeah. I thought he must have had about 20 at-bats.
Yeah.
He had
580. Yeah. And then you got Nick Ahmed and that whole stuff, you know, where he's going to play and all that, and Owings and that kind of stuff, and Jake Lamb, is he going to platoon? I like what I saw with Arizona. Pollock is hurt. He's not going to start the season. But let's see how that pitching does in Arizona over 162. And that's going to be the question for them. I still think the Dodgers are formidable. I tell you, they can score runs. They have a decent closer. I just think it's a long year, and they can make trades, they can do things, and it would be nice to bury them early. You know, I'd like to see 9-17 for the Dodgers, you know, in that first month of April. So I think they're still a good team. I think Puig is a big question mark if he has a big year. Adrian Gonzalez is still there. Howie Kendrick is back. Corey Seager could be the best player, you know, that they've had in a long time. Peterson. So I think the Dodgers have to deal with Colorado is always trouble because you have to go there to play them. And they're terrible as a team. You know, their pitching, starting pitching is not up to, you know, pennant-winning stuff. Bullpen's a little bit better, but when you go there, it's trouble. And that's the impact they have on the race. San Diego, to me, looks pathetic. I mean, they look like a team. Seriously, I hate to say it, but they could lose 95 to 100 the way they look to me. Colorado looks like a team to me that could win 75. And I think it's the Giants, Dodgers, and Diamondbacks. And whoever gets to 89 first wins the division.
San Diego has good food, though, so I'll give them that.
They do, I like some of their front office people. But
they do, a lot of good front office people.
Yeah, it's trouble. Plus, if they get Pablo Sandoval, you talk about food, that's maybe why he's going there.
I'm not going to go there.
All right.
Two things I'll go off of there. One, Arizona, the pitching staff. I think Patrick Corbin was outstanding this spring, so people don't pay attention to him. He could be a difference maker. And your point about the Dodgers is a good one. If they get off to a slow start and they're missing a lot of guys, they're having, you know, they're having the Carlos Frias, Zach Lee conversation at the back end of their rotation right now. And it is a chance, I think, for the Giants and the Diamondbacks to pull away a little bit before that team gets healthy, because not only will guys come back, but they have the best farm system in the division by far, maybe in baseball, and those guys will help at some point. So that's a good point. Before we wrap up here, and I have to wrap up because TV calls, real quick, in 30 seconds, are you ready for the return of your callers?
Absolutely.
And it's an even year.
Well, I'm ready because, you know, spring training is always difficult, you know, to generate a lot of interest about, you know, is PV okay, is Kane okay. But once the games start, then everybody is riveted on the game and how it turned out and who's hitting, who's off to a good start. And then the rhythm of the season starts. The first couple of months, you get the feel of who the team is, how they play. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to Salty. I'm looking forward to Andrea. I'm looking forward to Dre and Lemoore and Vince, Vance and Seal Beach and the usuals. But it's going to be fun. And Mark in San Francisco, you can't forget about it.
One day I will have you on, and we're going to do a deep dive on the callers and some of the calls. I've had some crazy calls when I've been on with you guys who want Hector Sanchez playing left field, and just that was years ago. But, Marty, thank you for joining me here. I'm sure your producer will wake me up way too early on Sunday.
Look, Sunday morning is very special for us because the professor comes on the home Sundays, and then you follow the professor. It's the best hour in radio anywhere in the Bay Area.
That may be. It's rough to get up for. But thank you, Marty.
All right, anytime.
This game is over.
Got him.
And that's the perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.